Hello, and welcome to Radio Eye's Children's Story Hour. As a reminder, Radio Eye is a reading service intended for people who are blind or have other disabilities that make it difficult to read printed material. Today, we will be reading from various children's books. Your reader today is Miss Frances. We will start with the book titled, I Will Love You. It was published by Orchard Books, has a copyright date of 2017, and was written by Alyssa Satin Capicilli. I Will Love You. In the very first moment, when you came to be, I looked at you and you looked at me. The sun shined hello, and the moon winked too, and clouds bounced by, filled with dreams, just for you. Then, nuzzled in a blanket of stars from the sky, with the twinkling lights singing a sweet lullaby, I whispered these words as I held you near, for all time, for all space, for the world to hear, I will love you. I will love you as sure as the breeze loves the flowers, and as long as smooth stones talk of hours and hours. As you're soothed by the hush of a butterfly's wings, or tickled by the rainbow a silly rain brings. I will love you like the velvet green hill loves its trees, like warm, misty shadows calling, nestled with me. With each dandelion wish that soars to the sky, with each seed that blossoms over low, over high, I will love you. When the sea asked you, why? When you ask the sands, when? When you wander and wander far and wide over again. When the world shares its smiles and sometimes its blues, when the gift of just being wraps snugly round you, I will love you. And if you should call out, I'll call back, here I am. I will be with you always, wherever I am. When the lark wakes the butter-yellow dawn in its flight, when the fireflies dance, good night. Good night. When you reach for this whisper of words in your ear, for all time, for all space, forever, everywhere, I will love you. The end. The next book I'd like to read is a book called William Shakespeare's The Tempest. It was published by Candlewick Press, has a copyright date of 2012, and this Shakespeare story is retold by Georgina Elenis. William Shakespeare's The Tempest. Can you do magic? I am Ariel, a spirit of the air. I can fly, ride on the curled clouds, and burn bright as fire. Magic is in every part of me. My noble master, Prosperio, is a clever magician. This story is about how my master and I used magic to do strange, frightening, yet brilliant things. Prosperio was the Duke of Milan. Since he's a man, not a spirit like me, he had to read special books on how to make magic. He spent so long in his library that he did not see that his jealous brother, Antonio, wanted to become the duke. Alonso, the ambitious king of Naples, and his brother, Sebastian, plotted with Antonio to overthrow Prospero and his baby daughter, Miranda. One dark and windy night, Antonio bundled them into a leaky boat and cast them out on the waters to an unknown fate. A kind friend had hidden food, water, and Prospero's books in the boat because he knew they were too important to leave behind. The boat drifted onto the shores of the beautiful island, which is full of sounds and sweet delights. But the island hasn't always been this way. Before Prospero was washed ashore, an evil witch, Cyracrax, and her monstrous son, Caliban, had ruled it. Life was hard for them. Cyracrax hated me and imprisoned me in a hollow tree for 12 long years. Thankfully, Prospero heard my desperate crying and released me from my prison. But my freedom had a price. Now I had to use my magic to serve Prospero. For many years I served my master faithfully, but Caliban still thought the island belonged to him. He hated us and wanted us to leave. So Prospero made him chop and carry wood as punishment. I watched Miranda grow into a beautiful young woman. She loved her father dearly, but she must have been lonely sometimes. One day, Prospero said that he had an important job for me. His wicked brother, Antonio, was sailing past the island. On board the ship were Alonso, the king of Naples, and his brother, Sebastian. Alonso's son, Prince Ferdinand, who knew nothing of his father's wrongdoing, was also with them. This was Prospero's only chance to punish the men who had stolen his dukedom. My master said that if I helped him get his revenge, he would set me free. On my master's orders, I burned bright and fierce and created a terrifying storm. It took all my magic to make the howling winds, pelting rain, and pounding waves that made the ship toss and turn. Antonio, King Alonso, Sebastian, and Ferdinand thought they were going to drown, but I was very careful not to hurt anyone. They were thrown into the foaming sea and washed ashore on different parts of the island. Prospero wanted King Alonso to think that his son had drowned. I was sad to see Alonso crying for his lost son and Ferdinand calling for his lost father, but I knew not to question my master. He had a very quick temper, and I didn't want to go back into the hollow tree again. I sang a song about Alonso to cast a spell on Ferdinand and brought him to Prospero. The best way to cast a spell is to sing it. My singing has calmed the angriest animal. I sung to Ferdinand about his father. This magic was easy after making the tempest. At my master's command, I broke the spell and Ferdinand opened his eyes. The first person he saw was Miranda, gazing at him in great surprise. Ferdinand thought she was a goddess. In that moment, they fell in love. Prospero's plan was working. I spent the rest of the day doing my master's bidding. I chased Caliban through forest because he had been up to no good again. I terrified my master's enemies, creating a feast that vanished when anyone touched the food. And I even became a horrible creature and reminded Antonio of the wrong he and King Alonso had done to Prosperio. I was here, there, and everywhere, but soon I would get my reward. Prospero then commanded that I bring Antonio, King Alonso, and Sebastian to his cave. My master used his staff to create a magic circle from which they could not escape. They could not move or speak, but they could hear every word he said. This was my master's moment for revenge. Prospero rebuked them for their cruel crimes. He demanded that this disloyal Antonio give him the dukedom back. Prospero had the power to destroy them. I had to say something to stop Prospero. I told them that if I were immortal, I would forgive them. My master thought for a long time, and even though it was hard, he forgave them. He showed that he had more kindness in him than they had in them. He even forgave Caliban and gave him back his island. King Alonso was still sad because he believed his son was gone, but Prospero then revealed Ferdinand with Miranda. Miranda was to marry Ferdinand and become queen of Naples. Prospero showed that forgiveness is greater than revenge, and from that day he gave up magic forever. He broke his magic staff into pieces and drowned his books in the deep sea. Then Prospero was free to leave the island and return to his own home as the rightful Duke of Milan. And then he set me free. Then I said, "Where the bee sucks, there suck I. In a cowslip bell I lie. There I couch when owls do cry. On the bat's back I do fly. After summer, merrily. Merrily, merrily shall I live now under the blossom that hangs on the bough. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep." The end. Next, I'm going to read you a book called Math Fables. It was published by Scholastic Press, has a copyright date of 2004, and was written by Greg Tang. Math Fables. Throughout this book, the author gives you math equations using bugs and insects and other things to help you learn different ways to add up to the same number. Dinner guest. One spider waited patiently. At last her web was done. Just who would come to dinner now and be the lucky one? A fly, a moth. Mosquitoes would be great. It's nice to know that all good things will come to those who wait. 2. Trying times. The sun was shining overhead. The skies were bright and clear. For two young birds safe in their nest, the time to fly was here. With wings spread wide, one bird took flight, but fluttered to the ground. The other one fell from the sky, and very nearly drowned. The two birds practiced all day long until they both could fly. Sometimes the most important thing in life is just to try. 3. Three turtles living in the woods were always on the go. One day they headed for a pond, albeit very slow. The youngest one soon raced ahead, but accidentally tripped. The other two caught up with him and found that he had flipped. They quickly grabbed him by the shell and righted him once more. All three agreed wholeheartedly, "That's what a family's for." 4. Four squirrels frolic in the leaves one brisk fall afternoon, when suddenly it dawned on them that snow was coming soon. "We haven't any winter food," three frightened squirrels cried. "I guess we better get to work," a prudent one replied. Two squirrels raced to gather nuts and made a great big mound. The other two then buried them in stashes underground. All four slept very well that night, no longer feeling scared. They learned it's wise to plan ahead and always be prepared. 5. Five smart raccoons set out one night to get a bite to eat. They came upon a garbage can, a most delightful treat. Two quickly grabbed it by the rim and pulled it on its side. "We're going to have a feast tonight," the other three all cried. "Before we eat, let's first give thanks," four thoughtful raccoons said. The youngest one put down the food and bowed his little head. "We offer thanks," all five began, "for each unfinished plate. Leftover food and chicken bones we so appreciate." 6. Along the rocky ocean coast, in water clear and blue, six otters like to swim and play and look for shellfish, too. One afternoon, two saw some clams along the ocean floor. Four quickly dove to scoop them up, then hurried back for more. "These shells are hard to pry apart," five puzzled otters sighed. "I'll try striking them against a rock," a clever one replied. A group of three tried this technique and found it worked quite well. The other three then followed suit and opened every shell. The six smart otters were content, all had their fill of clams. They each had also learned to use a tool and not their hands. 7. The autumn air was growing cool. The days were shorter, too. For seven monarch butterflies, a trip was overdue. "We should have left here weeks ago," five butterflies exclaimed. "We hate to say we told you so," two know-it-alls proclaimed. They had to get to Mexico before the winter freeze. One led the other six in flight atop a southern breeze. Their journey would be very far, 1,000 miles or more. The monarchs flew both day and night in groups of three and four. At last all seven made it home, too tired to celebrate. They vowed next spring to be on time and not procrastinate. 8. One hot and sultry afternoon, down at the tidal pool, eight crabs were buried in the sand, just trying to stay cool. "The water here is much too warm," five weary crabs complained. "The sun is very strong today," the other three explained. A group of four then grabbed their things and headed to the shore. The others followed after them, a second group of four. As seven stood by cautiously, One daring crab jumped in, but soon got hammered by a wave that caught him on the chin. The smallest crab swam out to help. Now in the sea were two. With six left cheering on the shore, this bold and brave rescue. The crabs at last were all one big group. Again they numbered eight. They all then thanked their lucky stars for having friends so great. 9. One warm and sunny afternoon, the month was late July, nine ants were rather hungry when a picnic they did spy. Three crept ahead to take a look, while six ants stayed behind. Some crackers, cheese, a loaf of bread, such treasures they did find. "This food's too big for us to lift," eight worried ants complained. "We'll have to work together then," the oldest one explained. With one in front and one behind, two carried home the cheese, while seven picked the loaf right up as easy as you please. The ants were happy as could be and soon returned for more. They carried two big crackers home in teams of five and four. When finally their task was done, the nine ants felt just great. They each had learned the meaning of the word cooperate. 10. 10 beavers left the work one day. They had a lodge to fix. All marched along in single file in search of broken sticks. A group of seven raced ahead and found a fallen tree. They quickly gnawed off all the limbs, then called the other three. "How will we get these branches home?" nine puzzled beavers cried. "We need to dig a small canal," a clever one replied. So, six went back and dug into the river's muddy shore. They soon had made a waterway right to the other four. The trees were now a cinch to move. Five floated them downstream. The other five then built a roof, the best you've ever seen. Their home was nearly finished now, with few things left to do. Eight quickly patched the holes with mud, while cracks were filled by two. At last the beavers' job was done, and ten let out a cheer. They each had earned the title of domestic engineer. The end. This next story is called "He Came with the Couch." It was published by Chronicle Books of San Francisco, has a copyright date of 2005, and was written by David Solaim. He came with the couch. Our family needed a new couch. We looked and looked at garage sales and yard sales and rummage sales, but we couldn't find a couch we liked. By nighttime, all we had found was a tin horn for me and a squeaky bone for Roscoe, our dog. Then Dad suddenly hit the brakes. "Aha!" he cried, as he spotted a big sign that says, "Larry's 24-hour rummage." They found a couch. It was orange and fluffy looking, and there was a blue man that had a blue face, purple spiky hair, a yellow nose, and overalls on with blue spiky feet. Soon we were heading home with a new couch. "Who is that back there?" I asked. "I don't know," said Dad. "He came with the couch." The next morning he was still there, so I gave him some toast and let him play with Bonnie, my dolly. "I'm Sophie," I told him. "Who are you?" But he didn't say anything. Can we keep him? I asked Mom and Dad. No, said Dad. So Mom and Dad tried hard to get him off the couch. Mom and Dad tried to persuade him to leave, but he didn't budge. Maybe he's sick, I said, so they called the doctor. It's an acute case of aponeurosis, said the doctor. He needs to get out more. So we took him to the Grand Canyon. We took him to the beach, all sitting on their couch. We took him to Washington, D.C., but he never left the couch. Mom and Dad said we'd just have to get used to him. Great, I said. Then one day, a branch snapped and I fell from my tree. Help! I screamed. There was a sudden crash as the couch was thrown out of the window. He saved me, I said, because the little blue man with the yellow nose was peeking out the window at me. That's why we're all so glad he came with the couch. But it wasn't long before we were off to another rummage sale. They found a chair they wanted, only this chair came with a orange girl with yellow spiky hair, a pearl necklace, and pink dress, and they said she came with the chair. The end. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's wide selection of books that I read to you. I'd like to take this quick opportunity to thank the Louisville Free Public Library again for supplying me with all the books that I read to you each week. This concludes this installment of Radio Eye's Children's Story Hour. Please join us next time as we read more stories, fables, and fairy tales. Thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for the Lexington Herald Leader on Radio Eye.